live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
Go ahead and drop it. Welcome everyone to the Friday edition of the Young Turks. Cenk and Anna still out, although they will be returning in Q2 of next year. Up until then, we have Jared Jackson back at the desk, and also Naomi Prince, who's been on the show quite a bit recently, actually. You are obviously fabulous in many regards, especially regarding your book, Collusion, How Central Bankers Rigged the World.
Thank you.
Which is certainly material that we here enjoy, and I think also our fans would very much like as well. On today's show, we've got so much for you. Did you know that they caught the bomber, apparently? We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about how seriously our government, including our president, is taking it, and the reaction of the right after it turns out that most of their conspiracy theories shockingly turned out not to be accurate. We'll be breaking that down. Also, Newt Gingrich, talking with the Washington Post, reveals, possibly by accident, why he actually supported Brett Kavanaugh in the way that he did. And we're going to be closing out the first hour with a talk about undocumented immigration. Not the story that the White House desperately wants you to focus on in the run-up to the election, but actual facts that lay bare some of the massive longstanding myths that people in America hold over the economic impact of undocumented immigration to America. So hopefully we'll be able to get through all that. Then we're gonna have a second hour. Brett Ehrlich is gonna be leading that, and that should be awesome as well. So why don't we jump right into it?
Yep.
Okay. Today brought more attempted assassinations through mailed bombs, but also massive news, because it turns out that they caught the guy fairly quickly, actually. Now, we should say at this point, they caught the individual that is believed to have been behind all of these mailed bombs that have gone to a number of different people. We'll run back through that list in just a second. But here is some of the information. So Mr. Sayoc, the individual that they believe was responsible, was taken into custody Friday morning, even as more crude pipe bombs continue to appear across the country. One was addressed to Senator Cory Booker, a New Jersey Democrat. Another was sent to James R. Clapper Jr., former director of national intelligence. And a third was intercepted before it reached Senator Kamala Harris, a California Democrat. As well, late last night, a couple more went to Maxine Waters, who has been in national news in the past few months because she just keeps popping up in Trump speeches for some reason. It's weird how he's really focused on her. But let's see, let's talk a little bit more about what is likely to happen. He has now been charged, actually, 5 federal crimes, including the interstate transportation of an explosive, the illegal mailing of explosives, and making threats against former presidents. It's always interesting when you come down to what charges they choose to put on a person, because I don't see like attempted murder or any sort of like specific terrorism charge or anything like that. We'll see, maybe that'll come. And what they have him on, I'm sure would be enough to keep him in jail for quite a while if they ended up getting him, if it turns out that it was actually him. Oh, by the way, we forgot one more bomb. A fourth bomb was found Friday in a mail facility in California addressed to Tom Steyer, a prominent Democratic donor. So he joins George Soros as two billionaires that are sort of Steyer to a lesser extent, but those two are responsible for a lot of the conspiracy theorizing about funding on the left. And so the bombs continue to go out. It is possible at this point that there are still bombs in the system, so we do still have to be worried, but they were able to catch him, which is certainly good news.
No, it definitely is. And you know, one of the things that I was thinking about and listening to on the ride over here is that many of the people that this, you know, Caesar has potentially targeted are specifically named by name by Trump at some point in time or multiple points in time. So as we like sort of unpack the story a little bit, it's important to note that whatever his motivation, the exact connection to individuals to whom bombs have been or pipe bombs have been sent happens to be 100% correlated to actually individual names that Trump has mentioned from his actual mouth.
That is certainly the case.
The 100%. So, and then we'll probably get to the imagery of the van and how they arrested him and all that soon, I assume. And how the correlation works. It's weird, though, that they were telling us to wait for the facts. We know we always wait for the facts. When I think it was the niece when the terror attack, when the van drove through, our president was not waiting for the facts because he had an idea of what type of person maybe it was in his mind. He went with it. A lot of people followed him along that road. And people went down the road of what this probably was. We get really careful about who it is when all signs point to who it ended up, who it looks like it ended up being. We'll stay with that. Mm-hmm. So now that it's come out, what's left is to see this how the spin happens now, which has already begun. Still go down the false flag route. Was he a registered Democrat? That's the next thing we always like to go to. What was it? There were stickers on the van that were too new. All these things went down with how it's possible. Or then moving on to the next step. Well, what about Steve Scalise? Mm-hmm. What about that guy? President Trump gets to that too. It's so much. There's so much extra work that goes into trying to make sure you don't hold any kind of responsibility for anything you have to in your part of the negative discourse in the country. It's just easier. If you want to relax tonight, just come out and say, you know what, you guys, I'm sorry. I didn't think it was going to get this bad. Mm-hmm. And you know, actually, that'll be the best thing you could do for your midterm election campaign, because no one expects anything decent out of you at this point, or anyone that you're surrounded by. But if you actually care about winning, do something normal, like take responsibility, the same stuff that you keep on preaching to everyone else to take. This personal responsibility BS that we keep hearing, it doesn't apply to them at all. Yeah.
So I do want to return to that, but you mentioned the van, so why don't we turn to that? As we've said, you know, they caught the bomber, or at least the guy suspected to be responsible for all of the bombs. And a couple of facts came out pretty quick about his political identification. He is a registered Republican. Now, that is true. That by itself doesn't necessarily mean that he still is or whatever. Mm-hmm. But his car had a few hints on it. So pictures of his van quickly came out. Let's bring up the first one. You're going to see in a graphic P1. It's a white van, basically, and it is absolutely littered with stickers.
It's that one behind your head on the big graphic.
Yeah, you can also see it right here. So, look, there's a lot going on this van, as stickered vans go. But one thing that stands out is that many of the people that he was interested in murdering have their pictures on the side of his van with gun targets over them. You're seeing a good shot there before they covered it up. And you can actually see there, right in the middle, Hillary Clinton has a target over her face. Michael Moore has a target. In that one, you can see Barack Obama on a tricycle. I believe that's Jill Stein standing next to Michael Moore. And you also have Van Jones over in the corner. So a number of people who have received bombs, some who have not yet. You know, obviously, if you are Van Jones or Jill Stein or Michael Moore, you're going to want to be especially careful, considering that this person appeared to be targeting you. And then, of course, everything else on there is ridiculous depictions of Donald Trump riding tanks and something about youth soccer recruits for Trump. Or something, Mike Pence, and the sort of crazy right-wing memes that also appear on his social media. So to the extent that when an attack comes and we want to find out who this person was and what they were thinking, there has never in history been a case that was more clear-cut than this. Well, and so I apologize to those of the right wing who were apparently desperately hoping and just assuming that secretly this would turn out to be a left winger. This makes that a little bit harder to believe, although as JR was alluding to, they've found some workarounds mentally.
Yeah, I just, you know, back to the van and sort of the placement of people. It's just, you know, the owner of this van has a very good design sense. The top line is the sort of Trump Pence line, and sort of below that are all the targets of these. It's an interesting just juxtaposition of sort of the hierarchy and the sort of rest. As well, which seems to be a statement in and of itself.
Also notice that I didn't notice the layout. That's very good. You have an artistic design background.
It looks careful.
Can we put that up again? Because there's one other aspect. The only thing that's down on the bottom is Trump on that tank. Guess who the tank is targeting?
All of those pointed negative figures.
All right. That's true. Yeah. Exactly.
All of it the same.
And of course, you see the CNN sucks there.
So when you see a van that's covered, by the way, pictures were taken of this van out on the street before he was captured. This isn't just since the van was on the flatbed. So people noticed this van in the community, and they noticed this how it's littered with all of this political speech, hate speech. And so people were taking pictures before and noticed, man, this guy might be a little bit off. And it goes back to many points we've had about people with access to guns. You don't have to be certified and put into an institution and maybe dimed out by your friends to be considered someone who isn't completely attached to reality. So this guy can go to the grocery store, this guy can go to rallies, this guy can go other places, and people wouldn't think necessarily that he's flying off the handle. But when you see stuff like this, it's a well thought out, dedicated plan. There's an obsession here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk about politics every day. We read about it extensively. There's not an obsession where we have to be notifying people. There's this Twitter account. It's this obsession with labeling everything right. constantly. And there's something that makes him tick that was tapped into by this rhetoric. That's what's wrong with talking the way that these guys are talking. You'll end up triggering people that you didn't think really existed, but they're everywhere.
Well, you mentioned the rally, so why don't we go to the video, CNN, which again was targeted not only by a bomb, but was also on his van, happened to have some video of him previously engaging in politics.
Back with the breaking news, you're looking at new video showing the suspect, Cesar Sayoc, holding a sign that says CNN sucks, as well as a lot of other nonsense in there. He's at a Trump rally in February 2017. The 56-year-old Florida resident, and today was arrested and charged with sending a series of explosive devices.
So I want to double down on something JR said. Before we found this individual, there was a great deal of conspiracy theorizing coming. Not from the fringe, or if it's from the fringe is now all the way around. You had people on Fox News the day of the initial bomb saying that these were fake or that it was a left-wing plot. Lou Dobbs was saying that. Rush Limbaugh was saying that. Not just the crazies on the internet and all that, but that it took over the right, basically. Now, since we have found out who apparently did it, some have simply backed off from it. So I saw that Candace Owens, who had said that it's 0% chance that a conservative did this, just deleted the tweet. Doesn't exist anymore. So I guess she doesn't have any responsibility for what she said. Some, though, are doubling down. And as JR said, some are saying, no, I saw in a picture, the stickers looked too bright. The van was too clean. And so this is obviously a CIA deep state plot. Now, some of you, very reasonable viewers that we have, might say, why are you guys just listening to this crazy stuff on the internet? Well, look, we need to get in advance of this, because between me saying this and this video being posted, Donald Trump will say at a rally that it turns out that it was fake. He was actually a Hillary supporter. Like, this stuff hits the most mainstream Republican areas almost instantaneously. Now, in terms of the stickers, the sticker truthers, as you said, no, people in the community and on social media have been talking about this van for some time. And he, on his social media, in addition to posting many times about Donald Trump and George Soros and all of that, has shown pictures of the van. And you can see that he had the van all the way back to 2015. But notice that in the beginning of 2015, he had the van, but it didn't have any stickers on it. It was only later on that year that suddenly the stickers started to appear.
Well, this kind of goes back to what I was starting to say before, and just looking at the van in a little bit more detail from those photos, and connecting it to the names of people that the president actually said from his mouth or tweeted about on Twitter that those were the additives to this van. And so, if you're looking at the correlation between that van, the activities of where the pipe bombs went, the people that they were that they went to, and what the president said or wrote, there seems to be an exact correlation, and it has grown. It would seem, if we could, like, you know, time capsulize that van, probably over the period of time from when it was blank and beginning, and then adding on individuals, organizations like CNN as time was going by.
Yeah. Okay, I want to turn now to Trump, and we're going to dial it back to the beginning of the day before we knew for sure who had done this. I want to track you through how right-wing politicians and the media help to confuse people about what's actually going on. So Donald Trump has not been buying the obvious storyline of what's going on with the bombings, that obviously Democrats are being targeted. Someone was going through a list they had put together of Donald Trump's enemies, taken from various speeches and rallies and social media, and was sending bombs to them. Now, as we said, many right-wingers had conspiracy theories that this is probably a left-wing plot to increase turnout in the midterms. There's no easy way to do it. This is the only way. You got to send bombs, I guess. And so this morning, before we knew who the bomber was, Donald Trump decided to weigh in, saying Republicans are doing so well in early voting and at the polls, and now this quote bomb stuff happens and the momentum greatly slows. News, not talking points. Very unfortunate what is going on. Republicans, go out and vote. So literally like 30 minutes before they caught the guy, Donald Trump decided to give the thumbs up to the conspiracy theory that these are not bombs, or if they are bombs, it's being overhyped. And he says, very unfortunate what is going on. And note that he does not mean that the former president almost was murdered, that Hillary Clinton was almost murdered, celebrities and billionaires and politicians and all of that. He's saying the fact that the media is talking about this wave of attempted assassinations, that is unfortunate. And remember, CNN, who perhaps more than anyone other than Hillary Clinton he goes after, he also said, funny how lowly rated CNN and others can criticize me at will, even blaming me. And he goes on to say that people are getting ridiculous in comparing this to serious incidents. This isn't serious like that. And remember, he tweeted that after someone tried to blow up CNN. And to add on to that, even once we found out who had actually done this, he is going to address a group in the White House about this. We have pictures of the van. The van says CNN sucks, from the guy who tried to blow up CNN. As he's getting ready to speak, the crowd of people in the White House starts chanting CNN sucks. And then he goes up and does his speech. He's doing a rally a little bit later on tonight. 2 hours before the rally, the crowd was already warming up with CNN sucks chants. So if you have any belief, or if you did, that they were gonna moderate their tone or their rhetoric in response to an attempted attack against the media outlet, they don't think that you should, I guess.
Yeah, and this just goes away from and kind of takes off a little bit what you were saying before, JR, is that, you know, this was kind of a leadership moment, you know, and I use leadership and what I'm about to say, which is President Trump, in the same sentence kind of loosely as a combination. But the reality is, this was a moment where he could have said, this was a bad situation. These targets, you know, the environment, everything that's going on. He could have even like dinged CNN in the process of doing that by saying like, look, everyone has to tone down. Everybody has to calm down. Let's try to run this like a respectable country. I'm the leader. Yes, maybe it has gone too far and it's time to kind of dial things back. Instead, he just minimalized it and then went on to basically attack the news for spending time on it. Mm-hmm. So he's also trying to control the news from this entire sort of perspective of not being a leader to the country, but still trying to be that sort of bully towards the news.
Yeah. So why don't we go through some of the video of him? We've got a couple different things. He's going to the extent that he at all sort of puts out a message that we should not be sending bombs to each other, you will see that in this clip.
I'd like to begin today's remarks by providing an update on the packages and devices that have been mailed to high-profile figures throughout our country and a media organization. I am pleased to inform you that law enforcement has apprehended the suspect and taken him into custody. These terrorizing acts are despicable and have no place in our country. No place. I've instructed authorities to spare no resource or expense in finding those responsible and bringing them to swift and certain justice. We must never allow political violence to take root in America. Cannot let it happen. And I'm committed to doing everything in my power as president to stop it. And to stop it now. To stop it now.
Okay, so he says that he's gonna do everything necessary to stop political violence. He's lying, that's not what he means. What he means is he is going to do everything in his power to stop his supporters or anyone on the right side of the spectrum from having to think critically for even a second about the way that they and he have been operating. And so that comes in a couple different forms, which we're gonna go over. The first was that, did you notice that just like in the rallies over the past 2 days, he did not identify a single one of the targets there.
That's right.
High profile individuals, could have been anybody. Maybe it was George W. Bush, I don't know, can't tell, didn't see it in there. A media outlet, it wasn't sent to a media outlet, it was sent to CNN. You know that it was sent to CNN, but you don't want to let people know that it was CNN. And so you have sanitized it for them. And now we're gonna have a little bit more from him, but also Donald Trump just by himself can't stop conservatives from having to reflect on what's going on. They need help from the media as well. And so earlier today, I captured some front pages after we knew all that we needed to know about this individual. So first let's bring up Fox News, and you'll see it's a fiend left fingerprints. Now, basically nothing they say there is inaccurate, but you'll notice that you can look over all of that and have no idea whatsoever what his political views are. It's a wide shot of the van, you can't see what's on it. Doesn't, as far as I can tell, it doesn't in any way indicate that he's a right winger or a Trump supporter, goes to the rallies and all that. Breitbart, similarly, if you move on, did the same thing. He's a mail bomb suspect, but you know, who can say who he's targeting or who he supports? When they actually had the van on Fox News Live on the channel, they had a lower third, you know, the text at the bottom, and it said van has political stickers, which is both true and kind of missing the point a little bit, that you can't identify it any more specifically than that. And so they are doing everything they can in the White House and in right-wing media to stop his supporters from ever having to think uncomfortable thoughts about the violence that is being wrought by those types of people.
In order for it to be this obvious, there has to be meetings, there has to be obviously a clear-cut thought as to how are we gonna approach this. Like, so when it happens, you go, okay, how do we approach this? Instead of, this is what's in our face, let's say it. It's just the way it is. It's more work to go through to go twisting yourself in knots, to lie and continue your same narrative. Just go with what's there. You can report it and move on. You can go back to your excuses after you report it. But for some reason, we can't even report the blatant truth in reality right in front. And ironically, to the guy who keeps touting fake news, to everyone else that says something true.
Yeah. And also to the guy who just said that he wants to do everything in his power to stop this, man. Which would mean deactivating his Twitter account. But you know, short of doing that, took the name of the media organization out of that particular speech and everything else. I mean, it comes down to, Fox should have a responsibility as a media organization itself to, you know, be a little bit more widespread about the facts of this particular case, because it is a big deal. It does mean something. And even if this is just the one person and you know, who manifested this particular set of crimes against, former President Obama, the Clintons, CNN, and so, you know, George Soros, and so forth. It is bigger than that. It is about this environment that allows that or instigates that to occur. This person may or may not have been the only person to act upon it. There might be a group. It might be someone else. But the reality is, it seems to be, you know, going in this direction. But it's the environment. It's what comes from the top, and it goes back to that just minimal amount of leadership that was required in this situation to say, you know what, this is just not cool. This is not how America should be. This is not how we should present ourselves to the world. I'm going to take some responsibility. I'm going to tone stuff down, which obviously did not happen.
Yeah, the problem is not bombs and shouting and water being thrown on people. The problem is bombs. Okay, that is the problem, and the shouting is down here. Let's not pretend with this both sides BS that everybody's got issues. You know what, probably everybody's sending bombs, I guess. We're all equally culpable. So as I said, they're trying to sanitize things. Now, reporters are obviously gonna ask some questions. And so Donald Trump was asked a few questions by reporters as he was walking across the lawn. And here is his response. This is a video two. Does he acknowledge that this guy is apparently, from what we know now, a Trump supporter?
I did not see my face in the van. I don't know, I heard he was a person that preferred me over others, but I did not see that.
Okay, no, he's lying.
I did.
He saw it. Donald Trump is on Twitter literally right now as I'm saying this, he's on Twitter. He saw the pictures. He knows he prefers me over others. He stands at rallies holding up signs saying CNN sucks. Look at his Twitter account, look at his van. You can look at my car and have no idea what I think about politics or pretty much anything. But this guy was very clear, and Donald Trump knows it, and he's lying to reporters. And I'm just gonna add one more. It's not just him. Even people who are supposed to be a little bit more responsible. If we could go to video seven, you're gonna see that as well.
Why was he targeting Democrats?
I don't know. Other than what you might normally expect. He may have been appears to be a partisan, but that would be determined by the facts as the case goes forward, and I'm not able to comment on that.
Christopher Wray with an amazing video photobomb. He appears to be a partisan. Who can say what he's a partisan for? I don't know, maybe he likes stuff. It's pathetic. Do you expect that they're gonna take this seriously? Do you expect that? Like, there's potential other crazies out there. There's other people riding around in vans. Do they feel like they are getting a strong message from their dear leader not to do things like this? Is that the message that is being sent to them by Donald Trump, by the media, by their favorite pundits on Twitter? Is that what they're hearing? I don't think that's what they're hearing. I think that they're hearing that I can do some crazy stuff and I will be buttressed and supported by conspiracy theories. And well, they didn't really mean to blow it up. And oh, well, if he really wanted to kill people, it wouldn't have been flawed. And should we really, maybe it's just mental health and all that. All of this cover being provided for a terrorist in a way that I have thankfully never seen before in American history.
No, that's right. And again, Trump could have said something like that and taken that responsibility in case another person actually, and none of us wants that to happen, does something even worse or feels empowered to go about and do that. It is a responsibility to make sure that that doesn't happen, that again, he's just walking away from.
Sadly, the assumption is also still made. We say this when it comes to shootings. They think only certain folks have guns. So they also think, because, and by the way, it's, I think, fleshed out a lot of times in the facts of the number of political, I guess, terrorism cases that happen in the country. It generally happens on the right-wing side. They just don't want to talk about it. But it doesn't mean that, because if you continue to overlook and ignore what's going on, there aren't people that oppose you that are thinking, hey, we're in the middle of a war then. We're all Americans. Sure. And a lot of people are taking this to think, and I hope it doesn't get to that point, that, hey, well, the only way we can solve this is with more violence. Mm-hmm. So then there's this assumption that they won't be targeted. They brought up Steve Scalise. He was targeted by someone who doesn't like Republicans.
Yeah.
And then they were surprised. I was like, that guy shouldn't have been holding all those guns either.
Yeah. Right.
But that's those right. are the only people that they want to have those things taken away from.
Yeah.
So when you overlook the use of pipe bombs and mail bombs because it was targeting the other guys and who cares about their lives, right. people are going to start thinking, the only way they're going to hear me is for me to target them.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
That's right.
Exactly.
But now that's what some people, because there's crazy people everywhere mm-hmm. on all political sides of the aisle. And as soon as you're faced with that, then you'll have to start caring. Mm-hmm. And that's a place we don't want to get to.
Yeah. No, I'm glad that you brought up Steve Scalise. We do have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about that, because the tragic attack against Steve Scalise is being used in an incredibly intellectually dishonest way to try to absolve Donald Trump of any culpability for what is being done here. We're going to get to that. And also, Donald Trump, in those casual remarks on the lawn, said something incredibly dangerous. We'll get to that after this break. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Nomi and JR and myself here. I want to read some of your comments. So I said something similar on the damage report this morning, but I wanted to point out what Mike, one of the members, said. Shout out to the postal workers who are going about their normal duties, handling packages, despite the very real risk that any of them could explode. Risk that continues up until right now and beyond.
Yeah.
So thank you.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Thank you for that. And sort of related, I Am Sock said on TYT Live, Trump won't even call them bombs. He's still calling them packages. Yeah, if you are a Trump supporter, reality is like processed down to the level of the food I eat, basically. Like, there's nothing natural or real about it anymore. Like, you are, like, they talk about the safe spaces that leftists create. The whole world has become a safe space mentally for them. And their favorite pundits, all they do is hand out get out of thinking free cards all day long. Like, oh no, you feel a little bit, you're starting to question yourself, you're starting to question something you believe. No. Here is why you don't have to do that. Right. Something sticker quality. Anyway, let's see. There were some other comments as well. Hangry Skywalker said, I find it hilarious that the MAGA bomber has a Drain the Swamp poster and Bernie is on it. I don't know how Bernie's part of the swamp. That seems a little bit weird. And Real John Connor says, we need to stop men in white vans until we figure out what the hell is going on. That is definitely true. Any man rolling around in a van needs to be stopped.
Highlight the get out of thinking free card. I like that one. Let's go with a
thank you.
Let's go with a meme on that.
I've thought John that a lot. I haven't said it, but
that was good.
That's good.
No, at some point I'm going to talk about how like. It's something like, so we talk with you guys, we get messages and stuff like that. I'm gonna read a few actually, and that is great in so many ways. But bad people, disingenuous people can use that. People who've developed a skill where the talent they have is reading what's out there, figuring out what people want to be told and just telling it to them. That is a very powerful and lucrative skill that people have developed in both politics and media.
And fascism. Okay.
And fascism as well. Yeah, there's some link there.
Crazy how that works.
Exactly.
Right.
So I want to talk a little bit about you. We were just reading members' contents. We have amazing members. It is so awesome whenever we get a new one. When I recognize member comments, I recognize the name from before. And you guys have been writing in some great messages about why you became members in the first place. So I wanted to read some of those. Mary said to us, my dad introduced me to TYT in 2016 during the presidential election. And you all kept me going when everything continued spiraling downhill. I'm now in my first semester of college and I'm awaiting my absentee ballot so I can proudly vote on the 6th of November. The icing on the cake, today I became a member of TYT. Thank you, Mary.
Aww.
And I apologize that things have spiraled even faster since 2016. Let's see, DPerry16 said, after watching TYT for probably about 6 years, I finally became an insider member. As a semi-retired teacher who still needs to work, I finally bit the bullet. I really admire the work you are doing to spread the progressive message. I often give $10 or $20 to candidates that were introduced to me through TYT. It doesn't matter if they are running in Kansas, New York, West Virginia, or my home state of California, I give what I can. As Senator Bernie Sanders has proven, there is power in numbers. We are strong. Thank you. And we are stronger because of people like you, DPerry16.
Nice.
Finally, Deborah Murphy said, I adore everyone at TYT. Goddess bless you all. I joined TYT earlier this year after stumbling across your YouTube videos. I look forward to watching all the weekday shows and Jimmy Dore on Saturday. And thank you as well. Goddess bless. And so thank you to the people who wrote in. We're going to read more, of course. Thank you for being on the left side of history. Those testimonials are so powerful, but you don't have to take their word for it. If you're considering becoming a member, you can go to tyt.com/join, become a member today, and get access to not only an amazing amount of shows, but also awesome behind the scenes information, special coverage of debates and things like that. We'd love to have you there. So thank you, everybody. We're going to move back on to important news. Does Donald Trump feel any responsibility whatsoever for the things that he says? Will he moderate his speech even a little bit? Well, maybe not. He and others on the right have found a sort of, get out of thinking free card when it comes to rhetoric that could potentially lead to violence. Here is what Donald Trump said.
There's no blame, there's no anything. If you look at what happened to Steve Scalise, that was from a supporter of a different party. You look at what happened to numerous of these incidents, they were supporters of others. No.
So he doesn't feel any responsibility. Lindsey Graham also had tweeted, this is before we found out who it was, I didn't blame Bernie Sanders when a Bernie supporter shot Congressman Steve Scalise, and I'm not gonna blame President Real Donald Trump for this nut job. That is, so you got Trump, you got Lindsey Graham, all over right-wing media, Fox News, Twitter, everywhere. That is what they're saying. So I will turn it to you guys. Why is that not an accurate comparison to make?
I just want to go to the leadership thing again and being connected to reality and trying to do, you know, your job from that standpoint. And just to take the Scalise example for just a second and just explain how that was different. First of all, Senator Sanders that day went into the Senate and in the first sentence of the address he made to them and to the country said that person, he worked for my presidential campaign, i.e. he took responsibility in like the first moment. He condemned violence of any kind. He said for real change to happen, we need to address this on all parties, on all sides. Paraphrasing to an extent, but predominantly that is what he said. That's on YouTube. That's on the net all over. So there was a taking of responsibility. There was an expanding of the message, and there was a condemning of violence of all kinds on all sides.
Yeah,
that is the difference. That is one key difference. And none of those things happened in this like thought loophole thing that has occurred on the other side.
And even with that. We saw before this suspected bomber, who's a supporter of Donald Trump, was at rallies holding up signs saying CNN sucks. That was his contribution to Donald Trump's campaign, or he was already been elected at that point, to his rallies, is that this guy who was shooting at Steve Scalise was part of a campaign, not because Bernie said, hey, come out so we can scream at people. Hey, if you go and attack them, I got your back. Hey, remember back in the day when we could attack these guys and it's okay? Hey, I like the guys who body slam. Mm-hmm. None of that was even said.
Right.
But he still came forward and said he was associated with my campaign.
Right.
And I condemn anyone who wants to have anything to do with me or my stances and my principles to have anything to have this kind of reaction to someone you oppose.
And beyond him, and beyond.
Yeah, yeah. If you're thinking about it, we're not going to have anyone else, at least thinking that I endorse them continuing this kind of behavior.
Right.
But we haven't heard an inkling of that from Donald Trump.
Yeah, It is a pathetic argument to make that there is some connection between Bernie Sanders and the guy who shot Scalise and this guy going after the repeatedly stated targets of Donald Trump's constant ire. Bernie Sanders did take responsibility. He also took way too much responsibility.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Because as you said, in general terms, he never encourages violence of any kind. He specifically says we need a political revolution. He's never spoken favorably of people who body slam and all that. He's never said, I will pay for your legal fees if you punch a protester in the face. He's never said any of that generalized stuff. He also, by the way, did not spend years giving speeches attacking Steve Scalise.
Absolutely.
And That's posting right. about him on Twitter and bringing it up That's randomly right. at his rallies and all of that. Donald Trump, though, has done that with all of the people who've received these bombs. So in general terms, and specifically to Steve Scalise, Bernie Sanders bears no responsibility,
That's right.
not even the responsibility that he took, because
That's right.
he's such a good, responsible leader. Donald Trump, who won't even acknowledge that he saw his face on that van, repeatedly calls Maxine Waters low IQ and says that she is part of the mob. He repeatedly has gone after all of these people, buttressed again by right-wing media figures and other Trump-supporting politicians. They are very specific with their targets, and they advocate for violence from time to time in a way that Bernie Sanders has never done.
That's right.
Now, I want to turn to one other comment. Donald Trump was being asked about blame and all of that. Will he tone down his rhetoric? And he decided to flip it on its head by saying this.
Well, I think I've been toned down. You want to know the truth? I could really tone it up because, as you know, the media has been extremely unfair to me and to the Republican Party. I think the media has been very, very unfair in terms of the Republican Party and the way it's been covered. And they understand that. They write articles about that. Many of them admit that. But the media has been unbelievably unfair to Republicans, conservatives, and certainly to me.
Yeah, I'm worried that today overall has been, I think, one of the worst days of the Trump presidency. A dereliction of duty that even Trump can't match in an average quarter. But when a reporter says to you, we're really worried that one of your supporters tried to assassinate a dozen people, and you have spoken out against all of them, could you maybe like tone it down just a little bit? And he says, you know what? No, maybe I could tone it up. He tried to blow up CNN. There's CNN reporters in that group talking to him. Maybe I could tone it up, okay? Now that I know exactly who's out there, the type of people that support me, I'm not toning it down. And if you don't quiet down, maybe I'll say something a little bit more heated.
I can't even add to that. Tone it up.
Sorry.
No, that's perfect. Tone it up. That is the summary of his response. Tone it up.
And imagine if a threat comes this way towards any direction of these people who are covering, and then an elected official, not even the president, a state senator, comes around and says, you know what? That person just got arrested for trying to kill Republicans. Let's go back to Steve Scalise after the baseball practice shooting. If anybody of any kind of responsible leadership in the country says, you know what? Yeah, he got one of them, but he didn't kill anybody. Hey, what if someone comes to their next practice? And you know, they do know where they play the actual game. Maybe if they shoot at more Republicans, that'll be awesome. Mm-hmm. The hair that would be on fire.
If Barack Obama.
Or if he said, right. Or if they said, hey, I took it down for one day, which he didn't. He didn't tone it down the way he just made all kinds of BS.
The body
up.
Slamming thing was like a week and a half ago.
Then I could tone it back up. Mm-hmm. That's the state we're living in. Yeah. But if someone does the opposite, if someone nears that point, mm-hmm. it's over. He's arrested. A normal person gets arrested for saying things like that.
It's one thing to casually inspire your supporters to acts of political violence before the political violence. It's another thing to do it in the immediate aftermath of that violence. I mean, that's kind of out there even for openly dictatorial systems, I would have to imagine. That said, why don't we take another break? We do have non-bombing, non-domestic terrorism related news to get to, so we are going to do that after this.
We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at tyt.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment.
Welcome back, everyone. JR, Nomi, and myself. I want to read some of your tweets. RedJess1206 in the members' comments said,
at TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Aren't these the same guys who criticized Obama for not naming the problem when it comes to radical Islam? Apparently, Trump doesn't have to name any of these problems. Yeah, they were saying, say radical Islam, say radical Islam. He can't say CNN. Anyway, okay, let's see. SBA 1911, recognizing Trump basically just said CNN deserves it. Yep. And a lot of people talking about, like, you haven't seen the van, come on. I saw someone on Twitter. After it was initially the van picture started to come out, said that van is what Steve Bannon would look like if he transformed as a transformer. He turned into that van, basically. You saw it. Everybody has
seen
it.
Saw the van.
Every time someone dodges, I always hope that whenever they say, "Oh, I haven't seen that video. I haven't heard about it." Someone had the picture and be like, "Oh, you haven't seen it. You've seen it now.
Right.
What do you think?"
Right, that wasn't a fake van. That was like a van.
Yeah.
With
others pointing out, by the way, it is surprising that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren did not receive packages. Remember, some packages could still be out there. If I were them, I would be worried. If I was Michael Avenatti and Stormy Daniels, I would be worried. Like, there are a few remaining people that he has certainly attacked quite a bit. Hopefully, they will not be targets as well. Okay, let's jump back in the news. Newt Gingrich might have accidentally revealed to the Washington Post in an interview recently why he actually cared so much about Brett Kavanaugh being confirmed to the Supreme Court.
What about if they subpoena his tax returns?
Then they'll be trapped into appealing to the Supreme Court, and we'll see whether or not the Kavanaugh fight was worth it.
So he was talking there about various legal challenges to Donald Trump and why Donald Trump doesn't have to be worried about it and all that. The only one that he had a little bit of worried for was if the Dems take over the House and start to subpoena things. He instantly goes to not, you know, the people won't support it or they won't find anything. It's always, will Brett Kavanaugh make the difference? Will he protect Donald Trump?
Right, and it should be noted that the Congress does have the ability to subpoena his tax returns. At this point, Trump's actual personal tax returns that were due in 2017 have been basically extended out. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that will happen through 2018. They can continue to extend that out for a while, but Congress does have that ability legislatively to ask. So it does matter what happens in Congress. And it does matter because Republicans haven't done this. If the Democrats do take the House, they can ask for that subpoena. It can go to the Supreme Court as a legal matter, because what Trump, I think, will do is use national security or something like that, which he tends to use a lot for things like trade wars, et cetera, to bring it up to the Supreme Court. And at that point, it actually can get up to a Kavanaugh situation where he does have bearing on the legislative validity of that. So what Newt Gingrich did there by accident, or perhaps not by accident, I don't know, is just allude us to the fact that, on the one hand, Kavanaugh can make that difference, at least while Trump is in office. There's still the AG in New York that's looking at his returns. There's other entities that are looking at his tax returns. But it can make the difference at the Supreme Court level. And just to mention this to all our viewers, Mary, et cetera, for your tweet, you have to vote. Mm-hmm. Okay, voting matters, taking the House matters, so that we actually can do things like see what he has been up to financially over his lifetime. Mm-hmm.
Again, if you believe that hasn't done anything, why should you have any issue with things being exposed? The same thing we've heard since forever. If you have nothing to hide, what are you worried about? When we talk about surveillance of any ordinary Americans. So also, remember the whole lifetime appointment thing for Supreme Courts? It's supposed to be there so that there's no problem with you being biased, so that you have no, there's no cover, or there's no reason for you to have to vote a certain way or to rule a certain way, and you're actually clear of all that. It has been flipped completely on its head. The whole reason for a lifetime appointment is for you to continue to be biased.
Reliable.
And then have cover to do so.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they can't get me out of here. I'm here for life, right?
Yeah.
So the obvious point here is now we'll see if the Kavanaugh fight was worth it. The Kavanaugh fight over his alleged sexual assault. Mm-hmm. Who cares about that? The fight about that is not about the truth, which they kept saying was the truth of the sexual assault. The fight about that is for him to come in and protect Trump. Mm-hmm. Again, your principles was about, hey, we're sick of these men being accused of these sexual assaults that they never did 35 years ago. We've left that in the wind now because somehow you won that fight. So now the fight is actually about protecting the president. Just this one. Mm-hmm. And then going after maybe the other ones. So if another president from the other party comes in, then Kavanaugh's there to then go after him. So the Supreme Court has now become this judicial wing of the Republican Party. That's the point of the court.
Yeah, and forget about the checks and balances aspect. I mean, Kavanaugh, during that entire testimony, about the sexual assault, was something that he made very clear was kind of partisan for him. Mm-hmm. He used exactly the type of language that Trump uses on a very regular basis to deflect talking about accountability, to reflect responsibility away from him. He talked about how it was a left-wing conspiracy. It was something that was imposed upon him by the Democrats and not by his, potential behavior back in college, in high school. And so he very much used whole chapters from Trump's playbook. So it's not a stretch to think he would find, he's a smart legislator, to find, examples to keep Trump's taxes, if they were to come up into the Supreme Court, off of the table.
Or other things like the
or
taxes,
other things.
Certainly.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. The theory that the right-wingers always want to say, the court is this nonpartisan thing. Newt Gingrich does not appear to have gotten that memo. He's talking about it in pretty decidedly partisan ways. And just one other thing, if the midterms go well and the Democrats take over the House, and maybe, although it's much less likely, the Senate, that will be good for a number of different reasons. They can stop certain pieces of legislation, things like that. But it will change the dynamic a little bit in ways that might end up being kind of scary. I and many others have been worried about what sort of ruler Donald Trump would be, even before he was president. And some Trump apologists since then have said, why isn't he acting like the dictator you implied that he would be, or the proto-dictator or whatever? Here's the thing. Up until this point, they have all the power. He has been shielded and protected by a conservative Supreme Court, by control of the House, by control of the Senate. Hell, they control most of the state governorships and state legislatures as well. To the extent that there are a few things that he sometimes has to bow to, like perhaps interviewing with Mueller, he's just decided not to do that. Now, if the Democrats get even one shred of political power, then you have potential conflict where they might completely legally ask for certain things through subpoenas, document requirements, things like that. Then, for the first time since he became president, he might have to choose whether he is going to abide by legal requirements inside of our government or if he's not going to be bound by them at all. Okay, with that said, why don't we turn to news of a very different sort. A white man who allegedly killed two people at a Kentucky Kroger's might have had a different plan entirely in the time leading up to that tragic multiple murder. So let's talk about the details of this. Police say that they're investigating the motive for this attack, which killed Vicki Lee Jones, 67, and Maurice E. Stollard, 69. Police say that there was no indication that Mr. Bush knew either of the victims, that is the killer, by the way, nor did he have any known connection to the grocery store, although throughout the day, news has been sort of initially broke and it's been escalating that this is being investigated as a hate crime. And one of the reasons for that is his activities before he murdered these two people at the Kroger. Chief Rogers of the area and church officials say that surveillance video recorded Mr. Bush's unsuccessful attempt to enter the nearby First Baptist Church of Jeffersontown shortly before the attack at that Kroger. A church member in the parking lot grew alarmed when she saw him aggressively pulling on the historic church's front doors. Mr. Bush drove away after less than 10 minutes of attempting to get in. And so right before he goes to this supermarket, shoots two people, he had been trying to get into this church where he was not known. Now, we don't know for sure why he was attempting to get in, but we can sort of guess based on recent history in America.
Which I'm just waiting for the religious leaders in America to come forward and worry about the assault that some people have on our religion, on our Christians in the country. For some reason, it doesn't always apply to this. When Dylann Roof went around and shot black churchgoers and they invited him in, we didn't get that narrative of Christianity's under attack. Mm-hmm. Maybe somehow that Christianity under attack isn't the same because we knew what the problems would be, this kid with guns and his background in racism and bigotry. In this case, here's another opportunity. Is your Christianity under attack? Do we need to do something about this? No, because he's not a Muslim or another scary person you can say is coming after your Christianity. It's way too easy to break down the holes in every kind of approach or argument they have. I forget that. Jeffress for Fox News. Mm-hmm. Go on tonight, man. They'll have you on to talk about the breakdown of our country and the morals of Christianity and the roots of our nation. They're coming in, they're trying to shoot us. And when they can't, they just go shoot random people at grocery stores. Two more black people, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the back of the head multiple times and then out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And elderly people. I mean, it's frustrating. I'm sorry. I've been in this state of of heightened like awareness today. I'm really tired. And I don't know how many more times we can talk. I was just telling you, Nomi, to brick walls who don't see the straight logic in things. How can you miss the obvious points that are going on here? Mm-hmm. And you don't have to sacrifice everything in your life to see it. Acknowledge and move on. Be a better person. It's not that hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can, I mean, like if you had to guess how many attacks or shootings or murders like this have we talked about on the Young Turks in the last 5 years? Who the hell? So many. So many. And then you think about how many racist comments have we had to talk about? People who've had to step down from positions and all that. Like it just goes on, the ads and everything. It just piles on top of it. And it starts to wear on you as you're apparently feeling. And it's even worse because no matter how much you shed light on these things, there's a significant chunk, maybe not the majority, but maybe close to the majority of the country that'll never accept that there's any bigotry or discrimination or racism whatsoever. And in fact, you, in talking about it, you are being the crazy one. You're being the extremist for caring about this lingering issue in our country.
Right, and we are talking about it, and we keep talking about it. And the reason we keep talking about it is because we can be better. Mm-hmm. We can be less violent. We can be more accepting. We can simply be better. Instead of going backwards, we can actually move forwards.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yay, we have time. Okay, because I was really hoping to get to this. Much of what people in America think about undocumented immigrants is completely untrue through the media not doing their job and most people not really caring to know if what they believe about this group is actually accurate. And in this video, I want to debunk one particularly insidious myth about undocumented immigrants that has given rise to the belief that they are an economic drain on this country. And that is that they don't pay taxes. And you will hear this all the time on the media and certainly from politicians. It is a very popular talking point from Republicans especially. And in fact, in a 2017 Gallup poll, they asked survey respondents whether immigrants to the United States are making the tax situation in the country better or worse. 41% polled said worse, only 23% said better, and 33% said no effect. So it is a very minority position to believe that in any way they could actually be having a positive impact on the country. Now, I would ask you, what percentage of the people who answered that poll actually know anything of what they're talking about there? Probably kind of low. So we're going to provide some actual numbers. Did you know, by the way, that research by the Institute of Taxation and Economic Policy suggests that about half of undocumented workers in the United States file income tax returns? I would not have even said yesterday that it was that high. And they do the returns. And did you know what you do on returns? You pay taxes. And it turns out they pay taxes. They pay a lot of taxes, actually. Back in 2013, I believe, they paid $23.6 billion in income taxes specifically. The Institution on Taxation and Economic Policy estimates that they paid about $11.7 billion a year in state and local taxes as well. The IRS estimates that unauthorized workers pay about $9 billion in payroll taxes annually. In 2013, the Social Security Administration said undocumented workers contributed $13 billion specifically in that year alone to the Social Security Trust Fund. And so groups of billions of dollars left, right, and center. And that's just the stuff that you pay through your actual tax returns. That's not sales tax and a bunch of other things as well. So huge numbers, many billions of dollars every single year. But nobody thinks that. Nobody believes that.
You know, I'm so glad we got to extend into this segment because you know who isn't paying $23.6 billion worth of income taxes per year? Amazon, GE, and a number of other major corporations who not only don't pay taxes, they actually receive multi-billion dollar rebates.
Yes.
And they've just gotten a $1.5 trillion tax cut. So that's just an aside of who isn't paying taxes. But yes, there is a sense for these undocumented immigrants that are paying these taxes that there is an accountability. We keep on kind of going. We keep going back to that word throughout this hour. There's an accountability towards a path towards citizenship, however that might look, and however that might contribute to this country in which they are, to pay their taxes, to have a record, to actually potentially show their taxes so that we all can have this aggregate record. And I do think that is deeply missed in this argument about immigrants as somehow being a drain on the system as opposed to not only contributing to the economy in multiple ways, but also paying taxes.
Contributing to everyone's well-being without getting any of it back. Those entitlements that there's no way they can go and get their return on, it just doesn't happen. Obviously, you have to show that you have your citizenship worth getting these things back. So it's a contribution without taxation, without representation, straight up. So it doesn't help to, we talked again off air about how people get dehumanized. So in order for, and as you said, John, we wouldn't have known this. I didn't say it, maybe you know me, I feel like you know way more than all of us. Wouldn't have known this, these details about the amount that gets paid by undocumented immigrants, right? So even people who have support for them don't know the full nature of the contributions that they give. We'd be like, wow, really that much? Because we're told this so many times, when it gets beat in your head, it's how propaganda works. It's beating your head so many times, you're like, well, it's okay that they're not contributing that much. This is what they are doing. We forget how much they truly are contributing. Mm-hmm. So even folks that can see the benefit of folks coming here, we still don't even see the full benefit because we're buying into it to a certain percentage.
Yeah.
We missed the point too. That's how badly we've been beat over the head with so many lies. So if you keep people on this lower level of humanity, you can do whatever you want to them. You can separate their families at the border and say, well, you know what? They deserve to be separated. They came here to drain us.
Yeah.
They came here to take our jobs. No, they're not doing anything but bringing over MS-13 and terrorism to kill us. All these things get said so many times that the reality is so far from that, that if you actually say the reality, you'll go, No, it's that. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. When actually the crazy stuff is what we're taking in as normal.
Yeah, imagine paying, you alluded to this, imagine paying in year after year, decade after decade to Social Security that you can't collect, Medicare that you can't collect, helping to support those programs that, thanks to the way money is spent in DC, desperately need the help. Mm-hmm. And they do that. They do that. And I wonder if people knew, and if you could get people to actually accept that two myths are not accurate, that they're a drain on the economy and that they commit crimes at higher rates than regular Americans, when in fact they do pay taxes and they commit crimes at much lower rates than native-born Americans. Like, how much that could change our view of this community if people would actually accept those facts. You can go, you can check the numbers yourself. And some of these, like, this sounds good, you know, that half pay taxes. We could actually, we could help that. We could get that number up. But you know how you do that? You don't create an atmosphere where these people are terrified that if they ever put their name down on any piece of paper, they're gonna be tracked down and thrown out of the country. Right. What percentage of those half that aren't paying taxes would if we made them feel even slightly secure in the position that they're in this country? So there's another area where demonizing this community, telling lies about them, threatening them, and deporting them actually harms the economic well-being of our country. Well, I wish we had more time to talk. Always good having both of you on the show. Thank you for talking through these topics.
I made it.
Vote, please. Go vote.
That's the most awesome pin, by the way. You guys can't fully see it.
Standard Hollywood. They're giving them out. Go there.
Those, like, those shiny, weird ones, they're out of style. It's 1970.
Well, thank you, Nomi. The book is Collusion, and thank you, JR, for not passing out. And thank you for watching me in this first hour.
You're welcome.
If you, I mean, I'm going to be around on the show next week, but I'm also on the Damage Report. Did you know that? YouTube TV and also a podcast on iTunes and Android. You can download that. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, Brett is going to be coming on, leading a second hour. It is going to be absolutely awesome. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.